Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes, as we said, he'll be in Charlotte Sunday afternoon, noon kickoff, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Our conversations with Danan, brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I guess I'll ask you what we were just discussing, looking ahead a little bit, and I know that's tough as a former player, and in fact, I want to get your mindset on how that is for players in a game against Carolina, but what is the toughest remaining game on the schedule, do you think? I said it's still at Pittsburgh on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think Pittsburgh comes to mind. Houston coming here, I'm sure there'll be a lot on the line for them as far as seeding purposes, and maybe for us as well. So, you know, that Bills game kind of puts a little bit more emphasis, I guess, or maybe a stronger exclamation point on some of these matchups as we get down the stretch. And then who knows? You know, we may be in spoiler position as well later in the season when we have Denver, you know, to knock out a team like that plays us extremely tough. Could bode well for us in that last week of the season if we're playing for something, and obviously they'll be playing for something as well. So, I mean, as far as importance, as far as tough games, you kind of never know about the toughness of a game because injuries come into play. And you know, heck, Cleveland could be a tough game based on where we're at from an injury standpoint. That game. So I feel important is probably the best word to slot in there. And Pittsburgh, Houston, the Chargers could definitely be one of the more impactful games coming up. If they continue to play like they're playing, they're kind of the team that I've talked to you guys about in previous weeks in regards to being a team that's on the ascension, that hadn't really arrived early, but they seem to be hitting their stride and they got a lot of confidence. So that game, even though it's at home, could be one of those games as well. So Pittsburgh does come to mind, but I'm not going to sleep on Chargers and the Texans.
Take me inside the mind of a player when you had a week like the Chiefs had on Sunday. They lose to Buffalo, tough game, likely going to play him again. That seemed to be the mindset of the locker room, is like, hey, we'll see in January kind of thing. Now you play Carolina, and from the outside, everybody's saying, hey, this Panthers team stinks, and everybody knows what their record is. How do you handle that as a player, knowing that you're coming off a loss and knowing that everybody just assumes you're going to destroy this team on Sunday?
Well, it's a unique mindset because it's actually different than the general fan and probably a lot of the media, because you're so conditioned to be in routine, to respect your opponents, to respect any opportunity on any given Sunday that you can be beat. And I'm sure Andy Reid, he's been around this league a long time. He knows what to say. He's been down this road before, has probably had several losses on his resume against teams that were significantly worse than them as far as stats and record. And then that's where the reality comes in. So if you are a leader on this team, if you're one of the coaches, they have to have stories. Heck, I have stories from when I played, when we played teams that were significantly worse than us and we wind up losing. So each of them can tap into that, and it's about keeping it normal. We're creatures of routine. The Wednesday practice is the Wednesday practice. The Thursday practice is the same. Friday and the walkthrough on Saturday, it's all the same, whether you're playing a top team in the NFL or you're playing a team that's fledgling, that's probably going to be battling for a number one or number two pick in the draft, because you know the feeling and you remember the feeling of, yeah, we didn't take that team for granted, but they came in and whooped our butt. Or we didn't cross all the T's and dot the I's like we should have back in 2010 when we lost to that team and they came in and they gave us the business. So, like, I feel like these coaches can tap back into that. And players, very impressionable. Like, as much as we want to say these guys have their own spirit, they have their own personality, their own character, like, you can dial into a player pretty easily and not manipulate them, but also, you know, kind of infiltrate their brain to make things, to make them understand stronger what the matter at hand is versus just overlooking them and looking to the next team. That's the Raiders on Black Friday.
Dan, I want to make this clear that this is not something I say often, and I understand how the league is a very close league for a variety of reasons, and that's what makes it the best sport. This should be an ass-kicking, right? Like, they are far superior to the Panthers?
So there's two different questions you had there. They are far superior than the Panthers, but as far as what kind of ass-kicking it is, I will never, ever, ever say that a blowout should happen in the NFL because there's grown men with families and getting paid on the other side. Like, I've been around this league since 1993. Like, this is not college. This is not, you know, University of Alabama playing Alabama, you know, Arkansas Pine Bluff. Like, it's not. It's the NFL. And, you know, they got some players over there. Josie Jewell is over there. They got Joe Horn's son over there, who I played with here in Kansas City. Like, they got some players over there, and they got something to prove. Like, if for no other reason, and we've always said this, we said this over the last 2 years specifically, every team that we play, it's their Super Bowl. Like, what better example of it actually being the Super Bowl for a team than the Carolina Panthers, who hasn't been anywhere near there since Cam Newton was the quarterback? So, like, if they're ever in their hometown, in their stadium, going to be up for one game, it's not the Atlanta Falcons, it's not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's not, you know, the New Orleans Saints in their division, it's going to be the Chiefs, who they play once every 4 years and don't play on their home field there necessarily once every 4 years. So you got to expect that you're going to get the absolute best, especially with them coming after a bye. You're going to get the absolute best from that team. Now, could that still equate to a blowout? It's possible, but I would not be surprised to see this game be closer than what a lot of people think, and then hopefully we can pull away and it be a two-score game at the end.
We're talking to Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He, of course, is part of the Chiefs radio network. You'll hear him on the call along with Mitch Holthus, Dan Israel, Josh Klingler on 96.5 The Fan. Noon kickoff pregame begins at 9 against Carolina. I feel like every week we ask you about Xavier Worthy and, like, how close are they? Last week was another example where they were able to get him open down the field. That has not been a problem, Dana. He's gotten open, but it's always, you know, maybe not knowing the field awareness. Maybe Mahomes is also a little off. What are you seeing, and do you agree that it seems like it's closer than ever for them to connect on one of these?
Oh, absolutely. I think the biggest thing, if you ask any NFL player, specifically a wide receiver that's ever played, that is currently playing, they will tell you the toughest thing to do in the NFL is get open. That's the toughest thing to do, is get open.
He didn't have that problem.
Whether the quarterback finds you on those times you get open, or it's designed to go somewhere else and you got open anyway, the toughest thing to get open. So if you're talking about the hurdles of a rookie campaign for Xavier Worthy in this offense, he's already knocked down one of the first ones. I would say in this offense, it's absorbing the offense, it's getting the trust of Patrick Mahomes, and then it's getting open. He's already got all three of those covered. Now it's just got to be fine-tuning the wide receiver skills. And some of those is strength. It's field awareness. It is understanding the schemes, not necessarily just the plays. And that's different. And, I mean, we could have a whole one-week show on schemes versus plays. Why are you running a route this way? Why do we expect you to be in this place? What does your depth at 14 yards mean for Travis Kelce, who's running a route at 8 yards? If you ran it at 10 yards, you might be too close to him. If you run it at 16, you might be too far away. You run it at 14, that's the perfect mesh so that Travis is open or you're open and Patrick has options. So the scheme is different than just running routes. Having said that, like, I love Patrick, and I love his leadership, and I love his willingness to take the blame in part for some of this stuff. But as a former wide receiver, and this is not a knock to Xavier Worthy at all, like, he's got to know where he's got to be on the field. Like, he has to know his presence on the field, especially as you get closer to the sideline. And that's something that's fixable. I know we've seen it on a couple of occasions this season so far, but it's his rookie campaign. That is absolutely something that is fixable, and I believe Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, Connor Embry, they're going to address it, and it hopefully it doesn't show itself the rest of this season, but it's absolutely something that will be worked on during the offseason where we won't see this again.
Dana, they were limited participants yesterday, so we don't know whether or not they're going to be available, but who do you expect to have a bigger impact the rest of the season, Isaiah Pacheco or Charles Omenihu?
Charles Omenihu. I feel like we are, as well as George Karloftis is playing, and obviously Chris Jones is a beast, our sack numbers are down, and we got to be better in that position. We're 27th in the NFL right now with just 19 sacks. I feel like if for no other reason than that, Charles Omenihu's presence, and he showed this last year when he came back from his suspension, especially in the playoffs, one of the bigger defensive plays against the Ravens was by his arm, literally. So I feel like with his presence and his ability to play inside and outside, and conversely how we're running the ball with Kareem Hunt, not saying that we're not missing Isaiah Pacheco, but if you're talking about impact, I would say Charles Omenihu could make a major impact. A guy that's hungry, coming off an injury, wants to prove his worth, wants to prove that he's a playmaker. I think opposing offenses, specifically the tackles, better watch out.
Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. You got players only tonight, right? 6 o'clock?
Yes, sir. Players only tonight. I will be in the building and we'll have some fun. We got some hot fire takes. We'll have the text lines and the phone lines open as well. And then I'll be with Barbershop and JC Pearson tomorrow night at Buffalo Wild Wings in Belton as we take on the fan football show there. So, two nights in a row, you're going to hear me on the airwaves. It's going to be fun.
There we go. Safe travels out to Charlotte as well. We'll be listening on Sunday. Appreciate it.
All right, fellas.